Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. There was something sharp underneath there. I just got my attention. Anyway, you have come to a location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. We have on occasion women that listen in. We call them the stealthy women because these are women who have men in their lives, whether they be husbands or brothers or dads or uncles or grandfathers, boyfriends or whatever, that are in their life. They want to know what's going on with these guys. Why do they act and do the things that they do? And so we try to clarify that, but we talk primarily to the men, and we are not professionals, as you very well have witnessed that already, but we do bring the Word of God in from our own experiences. So we're glad you're here this morning. We have a topic today that has to do with switching lifeboats, in a sense, or just switching, we'll just call it. How's that? Does that sound okay?
Yeah, I'll leave them hanging a little bit.
I'm hanging a little bit. That's our main topic today. When you're actually, when you get rid of one sin, what happens? Why do we all of a sudden find another one, and then another one, and then another one as soon as you get rid of some of those? But we'll talk about that for a little bit. In the meantime, we always like to go with a little bit of encouragement. Go for it, brother. You got something?
Well, yeah, I've got
That's good. Now you're earning your wages.
I've got a little mini confession here.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes the encouragements that I bring to the radio are because of somebody has spoken into my life and given me some encouragement or instruction in an area. And that happened. So here I am. I'm just going to convey this to the guys that sometimes it's important to not worry so much about the dollar signs and be willing to invest in your family. And that can be, you know, I'm not saying to be a frivolous spender, but, you know, that can be take many different forms. It might be, you know, taking them out to dinner. It might be taking them out to see a movie. You know, because movies are very expensive these days, right? And you add up, you know, okay, if you're like me, you add up all the numbers. And I take my hourly wage and I do math and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I work that many hours for this. That's not worth it. I'm not going to. But you know what? We're investing in our families.
Man.
Can't take it with us anyways.
Wow. So, that's a personal wow because anyway.
So, yeah, I'm just encouraging the guys to go ahead and do something to create memories with their family. You know, when I was thinking about this, I thought about the fact that when I was on a daddy date with my little girl, we were walking through the mall, and there's this little photo booth, right?
Yes.
And it's $5.
I know. It used to be a buck.
for a little strip of photos, right? And I'm looking at $5 for a little strip. And she said, come on, Dad. It's okay. So I pay the $5. We get this little strip of photos, and you know what? I keep that strip of photos with me all the time. It's my Bible bookmark.
All right.
You know,
yes.
You create these memories with just, you know, sometimes not, it takes very little.
So I'm just curious, little side note here. Did she not like the way she looked? Is that why she doesn't have them and you do?
Oh, actually, it came with two strips of photos. So
We have a little, okay,
yeah.
Some clarity. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Nice.
Yep. So, you know, just a little bit, you can create lasting memories.
So you can actually jump in there with each one of your family members and get something. You have all these bookmarks because you have a lot of Bibles and a lot of books that you read.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Well, you know, my little girl, she actually makes little bookmarks for me from time to time. So I have a lot of bookmarks, but, you know, it never hurts to get one more.
Yes. There you go. There you go. Well, that's a good word. That's a good word to be able to do that sort of thing. And the reason I said wow and everything, because my brother is actually very, he stewards his finances very well. So well that he squeaks when he walks down the road sometimes.
That's pretty much true.
And I have to try to loosen up. Come on now, brother. Come on. It's okay, you know. But anyway, it's good to hear you say that, you know, and to encourage the men to do that sort of thing. Because you know what? This is the day he's given us. We think that we're going to be around for, you know, on our deathbed when we're 90. Many of us will not ever see 90. Okay, and so the fact is that this is the day he's given us. So let's, and it doesn't mean you have to go crazy and just let it all go. No, but you can actually loosen things up and have a good time and make those memories, like you said. I think it's an awesome, awesome message. Good encouragement.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, you're welcome.
I'm encouraged.
All right. Well, let's go. Let's kind of segue right into this thing called, just say what it is. Hey, it's
switching from one sin to another. You know, we have something, Raul, that's going on in our lives. You know, it can be any number of things, any besetting sin, you know, any sort of vice that we just, you know, can't get a grip on. We give it over to Jesus and say, God, I need you to deal with this for me.
Right.
Right. We reach that point. But the problem that we have with that is that when you get rid of something, it creates a void.
Yes.
That void needs to be filled. So the natural tendency of a guy is to fill that void with something other than God, with other than the Holy Spirit who lives in us. All right? So we quite often as men, when we, you know, get rid of one sin, well, something else either creeps in or something that was already a problem starts to get worse and worse.
Yes.
Or some other sin that has never really been a factor in your life becomes a factor.
Yes, yes.
You know, because the enemy hates us, right? He wants to destroy our relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, so if we are, you know, doing anything to foster that relationship with Jesus Christ, the enemy is going to come in and do whatever he can to destroy that.
Yes.
And he will take, you know, he will take these things that we're weak, and he will exploit them. You know, so you know, for example, let's say that you know, a man struggles with the issue of pornography. All right, and he gives that over to Jesus. But now all of a sudden, that comfort is gone. But if he doesn't seek comfort from God instead of from, you know, that pornography that he used to go to, he'll have a tendency to go to something else.
Right.
So he may never have been a real drinker before, but he starts drinking just a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And a little bit more, mm-hmm. and a little bit more, because he's finding comfort someplace else now. You see, so, and this is a tendency in men. I've seen it before. You know, I've had guys talk to me, you know, hey, you know what? I've been doing real good in this, but man, Eric, now I'm just really struggling in this, and I don't know what to do.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so often one of the things is that when we're in sin, we have to be mindful of what it is that we're actually, where we're at. We're in a different world. When you're in sin, conscious sin, okay, I'm not talking about just being tempted and all of a sudden, okay, I just, you know, I shouldn't have looked that way or whatever. No, I'm talking about conscious sin. When you're actually making a decision to say, I know I'm going to be doing this. I know I'm going to do that. Probably isn't healthy for me. It's probably not the best thing for me, but I'm going to do it anyway because I'll ask for forgiveness later and then deal with it later type of thing, right? So we fall into the lure of the temptation, fall into the sin, and what ends up taking place is that now we're in a different world. And all of a sudden, have you ever, when you're in the midst of your sin, all of a sudden you start thinking of some other things and you start, I mean, it's like, whoa, I don't usually think of that. But now you're open maybe to that sort of thing. As an example, you use the example of alcohol in a sense. You know, if guys just, and use the example of going from pornography and then all of a sudden just start drinking, then you end up in a bar, okay? And guess what? You're around other guys and women who are doing the same thing. Maybe trying to escape their feelings or whatever they have to deal mm-hmm. with. That's not to say there aren't social drinkers out there. I don't know what that's like. I've never been a social drinker. Not one time. Okay? I can't do it. Won't. Not even going to attempt to. Okay? But the simple fact is that all of a sudden now the lure of all these other sins come alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Of relational stuff, other opportunities, and all of a sudden, oh, wow, you know, and yeah, I'm just kind of feeling a little, my point is that when we're in sin, it just opens the door to so many other things, okay? But the Bible's pretty clear about it, in a sense, and, about what takes place.
Yeah, Jesus spoke on this issue, and I have to preface it by saying that, you know, what we're talking about here is besetting sins and another mm-hmm. sin creeping in. The context, the immediate context here is Jesus was casting out unclean spirits.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm not, I want to be careful in saying that I'm not trying to misuse Scripture, but I'm taking the principle of the Scripture.
Yes.
And applying it to this situation. Okay.
Well said.
So Matthew 12:43-45. Jesus is talking. He says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest but finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. So also will it be with this evil generation.
Yes, yes.
Jesus talking directly to the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
They're accusing him of casting out spirits by the power of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have here is the fact that, you know, here's a person who's had an unclean spirit cast out from him.
Mm-hmm.
And the house, meaning the person, the inner person, becomes swept and clean.
Yes.
Right? But it's swept and clean and it's empty.
Yep.
There's nothing else in there.
Mm-hmm.
So the evil spirit comes back and he finds the house put in order and empty. And hey,
party time!
Party time!
Hey,
I'm going to go get seven of my friends.
Yeah.
You know, you could liken it to the same thing. You know, where if a homeowner has a rental that's vacant.
Yep.
And he finds somebody who's squatting in the house, and he goes and he casts that person out.
Cleans the place up.
And then the guy, you know, says, you know, now that he's been cast out, he says, hey, you know what? I know a house that's empty. Come on back with me.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So really what it comes down to is the premise of what you're saying here is that something needs to fill this spot. When something is cast out, it needs to be filled.
Something needs to take over
in that empty void. Okay, and so often what ends up happening is that we just say, get rid of something. Now there's just, in some cases, an analogy I've used before, I just have like a hole in my gut, okay, and the wind's just blowing through it type of thing, okay? The fact is I need to fill that up, and that's where we have one up, the listeners, you and I. The fact is that we have Jesus. We need to fill that up with him, okay? And this is a no-brainer. It's difficult to do, but it's a no-brainer, okay? But so is the Word of God. I mean, it's pretty clear, yet it's a difficult thing for us to do. Why? Because of our sinful nature of trying to take care and find comfort for me, for my body, for my soul, for my mind, and all of the above, right, type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Raul, I'm just going to talk a little bit about, you know, just my own experience. And see, I didn't really go down this road so much per se. You know, I've remained, you know, I was for a long time addicted to pornography, and that's why I raised that issue in the beginning of the show because it came to my mind. But for, you know, I remain, you know, tempted by the lust of the flesh,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Satan continues to try to get me through that.
Right.
You know, so I must always be on my guard and fill myself up with him every day. It's a daily thing.
Yes.
You know, every day has new mercies. Every day God is with me. And if I were to think about, you know, having to remain pure in thought and word and deed, and to deny the lust of the flesh, and I think about the fact that, you know, I'm such and such years old and I might live to be such and such, mm-hmm. you know, and I do all the math in my head and it's like, oh my goodness, Raul, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I can't. But God can mm-hmm. through me. And I'm told not to worry about tomorrow or the next day or the next day, but to focus on the day that I've been given.
Yes.
You know, to focus on him for this day, to have his strength on this day. You know, maybe that's why we sleep, so that it creates a separation, you know, from day to day. It gives us the rest that we need to, you know, to go forth on the next day with its new mercies.
Mm-hmm.
And, but my issue, Raul, was that when I came to that point where I knew that I had to get rid of the pornography in my life, my world had come crashing apart, God also used that opportunity to reveal other things in my life where I was failing.
Mm-hmm.
And a huge one is pride.
Mm. Do you have that problem too?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
And because, you know, here I am, you know, I'm just coming out of this addiction to pornography, and I'm thinking of myself better than the other guys in church because I know that their addiction must be worse than mine. I know that some of those guys, you know, are probably sleeping around on their wives. I never physically cheated on my wife, mm-hmm. you know, so gosh, I must be better than those guys.
Yes.
You know, and so so God also uses this opportunity of the house cleaning.
Yes.
To really clean house. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is what actually ends up in our own, there's, when we are, when we're in the midst of going through a challenge like what you're talking about, and all of a sudden we end up saying, okay, Lord, I need you to take this from me. There is a tool that the enemy uses to try to remind us that, you know what, you need to do something here. Giving it back to us to do something. And that tool is fear. He mm-hmm. uses that mightily against us. What is my life going to be like without that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do without that? I mean, who, I can't imagine. Maybe just a little bit, and then all. See, that's all it is. He gives us fear, part of that tool is doubt, right? He puts doubt on our mind. You're not going to be able to do this. You're not going to be able to do this. So you could do it a little bit. I know it's probably a little too much for you, but you just do just a little bit. You can control this. I know you can.
Mm-hmm.
This is how he encourages. Okay, but see, what's wrong is that we're listening to it,
right?
And we think that, oh, this is God talking to me, you know?
And I envision a cliff, all right? And that cliff is our besetting sin. And we inch up to it, and we look at it fondly, remembering. And we, you know, say, maybe I can just inch just a little bit closer to it. And pretty soon our feet, our toes are hanging over the edge of this cliff, and we're looking down. And you know how when you're standing up really high on something and you're looking down to a vast void, how your mind just gets all fuzzy and you start to lose your balance? I think that that's what Satan wants to do, is he wants to inch us closer to that cliff and cause us to fall over.
Mm.
Because when we get close to that cliff, we lose our balance.
Hmm.
So that was the image that came to my mind as you were talking.
I'm just going to pull the ripcord and use the parachute.
The holy parachute.
The holy parachute. I tell you what, let's take a break. Let's come back and let's chat some more about this and what takes place and what, you know, I know you've got a couple of things under your sleeve that you want to be able to share with the men. Or
maybe.
Both sleeves.
Yeah.
Two sleeves. So two minus sleeves. One, yes. Hey, you're listening to Banner Brothers Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
I don't know about your body, but my body loves protein. That's right. And when I think about delicious protein, I think about Hempler's pepper bacon, Hempler's hams, Hempler's Bun Buster hot dogs, Hempler's chorizo, Hempler's chicken sausage. It's all so delicious, and I don't have to worry about extra fillers. The entire Hempler collection of smoked meats is completely free of allergens, gluten, and MSG, and is made with care from their family to yours, using the Hempler family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. To learn where you can purchase your own Hempler's meat, visit Hempler's.com.
I am not who I was. Being remade, I am new. I'm chosen and holy, and I'm dearly loved. I am new. I am new. I'm not who I was. I'm being remade, I am new. Oh, dead to the
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Eric and Raul in the house, in the studio. And, you know, Eric, this is, you know, sometimes this walk with Christ can be sometimes in our own heads very complicated to where we just, sometimes I believe that that's almost part of the pattern that the enemy gives us to try to get us to get frustrated and give up and say, you know what? What am I doing? Forget all this, you know, because I know that I'm not alone in this, that I, along with others, maybe some guys who are listening, at one time in the midst of our sin that we knew was not healthy for any reason, not just physically, but whatever, spiritually, and or for anybody else, we see the consequences of our sin, but we just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't care. I don't care. If it does. And yet, there's a part of us that does. There's that struggle inside that I do care. Now, I've had conversations with other guys saying, oh, that's the Holy Spirit in you. That's really battling with, you know, what you want to do versus what God wants you to do. Or the Spirit, in a sense.
Yeah, well, that's what it says in Galatians, that the flesh and the Spirit are at war with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, you know, why do we do that? Why do we, go down that path, even though we know that it's going to cause self-destruction and family destruction? You know, basically, it's just because of our own selfishness.
And we convince ourselves that, hey, we'll get rid of this later, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Maybe the first of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe, you know, whatever it is, okay? But it's procrastination, just putting it off. Because really what's winning is the flesh at that time.
Right. You know, the idea that I can, you know, put off till tomorrow.
I can control
this. You know,
this.
I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today, right?
Yeah, really.
No, but I mean, that's actually one of the reasons, Raul, why I'm not a big fan of New Year's resolutions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, every day is new.
Yes.
We don't have to wait for January 1st to roll around to say that, you know, to make some sort of commitment to change something in
yes,
our lives.
Yes.
That's a moment by moment thing, you know, and it is not just, you know, making the decision, it's acting on it.
Yes.
You know, but we're weak and we give up on things, you know, that, the first 2 weeks of January are the busiest weeks for, gyms.
Oh, yes.
Where, you know, you go in and people have said, I'm going to start working out on a daily basis. I'm going to get up at 4:30 in the morning and go down to my gym for an hour and get on the bike and push some weights. And And, you know, all the trainers are, they're saying, you know, just give it 2 weeks, it'll clear out.
Yeah.
And it does.
Yeah.
You know, because we, you know, we waited for that January 1st to come along and, you know, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. We'll get all excited about it. And then because of the weakness of our flesh, we give up on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, but I mean, I guess that's kind of a little side note to what the, to what we're talking about here today, because, you know, what I wanted to focus on was the fact that, you know, sometimes when we get that besetting sin out of our life, that Satan will come in with something else.
Yes. Yes.
You know, so, you know, maybe it is that you decided to, you know, to stick with it at the gym, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. you're there and you're pumping your feet on that stationary bike and going crazy. Meanwhile, Satan has gotten you addicted to Twinkies.
I didn't hear that coming.
You know, so you get my
yes,
idea there.
Yes, yes. So but, really what it comes down to is that there's a void. There's a an emptiness. There's a cleansing that has taken place, but it needs to be filled. Mm-hmm. And the enemy's going to do everything he can to be able to fill it with his stuff.
Yeah, and sometimes we're afraid to fill it with God's stuff. You know, if I fully submit to God, what is he going to ask me to do? You know, what is he going to ask me to get rid of next? Because I've got this thing shoved in the back of the closet here that I haven't told anybody about, and I don't mm-hmm. want to deal with that one yet. Mm-hmm. You know, if I fully submit to God, is he going to ask me to get rid of that thing in the back of my closet?
Yeah.
You know, there's fear involved mm-hmm. in it. Mm-hmm. You know, as men, we are fearful. We'll try and hide it as best we can.
Yes, yes.
But we are fearful. Yes. And, Raul, that reminds me of the story of Gideon, who was also mm-hmm. fearful, hiding in a wine press,
yes.
threshing out wheat in a wine press. You don't thresh yes. out wheat in a wine press. He was doing that to hide. He was fearful. But the Lord came to Gideon, and it's in Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 25. It says, that night the Lord said to him, Gideon, take your father's bull and the second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of the stronghold here, with stones laid in due order. Then take the second bull and offer it as a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah that you cut down. So Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord told him, but because he was afraid of his family and of the men in town to do it by day, he did it by night. So once again, Gideon is fearful, but here he's obedient and he does mm-hmm. it. He pulls down the Asherah pole. But I think it's important that we pay really close attention to what God commanded him to do besides tearing down these altars to false gods.
Mm-hmm.
He said, erect an altar to God there.
Yes.
It's not just get rid of something, it's get rid of something and replace it mm-hmm. with God.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we can take that, and we can, in principle, do the same thing in our own lives. That when we tear down these idols and these altars, these sinful vices and habits that we've developed in our lives, that it needs to be replaced with God. We can build that altar of God within us, so to speak. And that's just simply asking God to come into that place. It's just simply submitting to Him on a daily basis.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and you know, replacing it with something. You know, we have all of God's Word available to us, which is just beautiful. I hear people say that, you know, God's just not speaking to me. Mm-hmm. Have you opened your Bible?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Man, He is looking to fill us up with the knowledge of His truth. But well, we got to open up the Bible. We got to get into the pages there because He is speaking.
Yes. You know, He not only speaks through His Word, He speaks through others, okay?
Yes.
And so fellowship with others who are like-minded, who are seeking to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's so important with guys especially because we are, man, guys are want to be isolated. They want to be act like they're introverts, don't need anybody else, can take care of this all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the opportunities and advantages that the enemy has in trying to take men out, just keep them away in a sense, okay? Oh, let's pay more attention to rebuilding that vehicle, you know, changing that engine, making them. I'm not talking about your shop. I know that you have a car in there you're working, but but that has a tendency. Those things have a tendency. It may not be anything wrong with that, but it's not pointing you in a direction toward God. And I'm not saying that that those things are wrong. That's not what I'm saying. We need to be more clear in being able to make decisions that are responsible for seeking God to better our lives. Do we really believe that a relationship with Jesus Christ is going to benefit us? Do we just say, okay, I'll wait for him to change me? Do we wait for him to actually take our sin and cast it out and all of a sudden wash us up and then, you know, dry us off and say, okay, there you are? No, that is not going to happen. It requires on our part something that most guys sit there and go, I don't know. Maybe I will a little bit. It's called surrender. It's called submission.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to have to do that. How do we get to that place? Let's take a break. Let's come back and talk about this. What does it take for a man to get to that place of finally saying, I'm done. I'm willing to let you have all of this. You know, we're talking about this room that is, everything was taken out, cast out. The enemy was thrown out of it. You had to get to a place where you said, okay, Lord, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, instead of just let it be, it's be because we don't want to do any more work. Let's talk about that when we come right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Need more in-depth biblical counsel on a specific subject? Check out our latest of recommended books on the Band of Brothers page at faithplace.org.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
You're busy and the last thing you want to worry about is lawn work. What if someone else took care of that for you? If you live in Northwest Washington, Kane's Lawn and Garden can take that job off your to-do list. With almost 30 years of experience, you know they have satisfied customers who continue to rely on them year after year. Kane's Lawn and Garden can provide as little or as much as you need. Mowing, edging, pruning, fertilizing, weed control, and even general property cleanup. Take advantage of special pricing right now. Request a quote by visiting their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. That's Canes, spelled C-A-I-N-S, lawnandgarden.com.
You are more than the choices that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade. Well, she tries to believe it, that she's been given new life. But she can't shake the feeling, well, that it's not true tonight. She knows all the answers, and she's rehearsed all the lines. And so she'll try to do better, but then she's too weak to try.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. I almost said Felix. I almost called you Felix.
You guys, I don't know how you could make that mistake.
You guys look so much alike. You know?
All right. Go to the website. Look at the pictures of Eric and Felix. Yeah, you'll understand.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're talking about this point in our lives where we say, okay, you know what? The Lord knows I need to be rid of the sin of my life. And I finally acknowledge it by saying, yes, I'm willing to do that. Lord, take it. Take all of it. It's yours.
Mm-hmm.
And so we allow him to do that, okay? And then we just, and we stop. We just say, okay, I guess he's going to just, that's it.
Yeah.
It's all up to him
now. So we've made the 180-degree turn.
Yes, yes.
And then we stop.
We stop.
Imagine you're on a bicycle, okay? And you do this 180-degree turn. You turn around on your bike.
On one wheel?
I'm not that good.
Okay.
I use two wheels. Okay. Don't distract me.
Sorry.
So just the image of the bicycle. And you turn around. Now you're facing the other direction. But if you're not going anywhere, have you ever tried to stay upright on a bicycle that's not moving?
Yes.
How did that work out for you?
It pretty well for the 2 or 3 seconds.
And then kerplunk.
Yes.
Over you go.
Yes.
Yeah. The state of the Christian man is always moving forward.
Mm. Good analogy. We need to keep moving.
Yeah. Paul in Philippians says, you know, forgetting what lies behind, you know, this one thing I do, I press on for the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on.
Yes.
That's not remaining stationary.
Yes.
That's moving forward in our faith.
Yes.
You know, so it is, it's a daily seeking of God.
Mm-hmm.
Seeking what it is that he wants you to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Seeking what it is that he wants you to be changing.
Yep.
Allowing him to do that that chiseling work, you know, the refiner's fire, you know, which takes out the impurities.
Mm-hmm.
Fire's hot. Mm-hmm. It hurts. All right? Going through this process is not necessarily going to be an easy thing. It's, you know, the discipline of the Lord doesn't seem pleasant when we're going through it. But in the end, you know, it develops in us his character.
My dad used to say the same thing to me when he was spanking me and my brother. He said, this is for your benefit. You're going to thank me down the road.
This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you.
Oh, gosh, all of those things.
Whatever.
I don't see it. That's not going to happen. But he was absolutely right. It got my attention. And in some cases, things changed. Okay. And in other cases, I had to carry it on a little bit longer and without others, you know, taking it secret, stealthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a sense. But really what it comes down to is that we get to that place of truly submitting and surrendering to him, okay? Here's one of the benefits that I think in the application of surrender for me is that I don't surrender for the rest of my life or submit for the rest of my life. See, in my head, like I said earlier, you know, I'm going to be old and decrepit. I'm going to be around for a long, long time on this earth doing some things. And, you know, so I've got a lot of years left before that happens, before my deathbed comes. Because I don't know about you, but I've fantasized I'm going to be in a deathbed and all my friends and family to be around.
So you can say your goodbyes.
Say goodbyes and thank you. Forgive me for this.
Put your hand on them and bless them.
Yes, and all of those things. That's not how it necessarily is going to happen, okay? Yeah. God knows, but the likelihood that's not the way it's going to happen. We don't even know it's going to be how many more years, much less days that he's going to give us. Today could be it, okay? So really what it comes down to is I don't have to surrender and submit to Jesus for the rest of my life, just for today.
Yep.
Just
Amen.
For today. This is the day. I mean, Jesus reminds us in this gospel saying, hey, don't be anxious about anything. You know, this is the day I've given you. He talks about, you know, uses the analogies. And I know when I used to hear him, I said, oh, yeah, but those are the birds. And those are, yeah, the other, you know, no. He created us.
Mm-hmm.
Brother, how many things have you ever made yourself? If you're a carpenter, if you're an artist, if you're do anything that you create something of your own, in a sense, that you make, you kind of just say, oh, man, this is valuable. I want to make sure that nothing is hurt. Or if you give it to somebody else, you just say, this is what I made for you. And, you know, my point is that you take care of that. God takes care of what he creates, too.
Amen. And yes, he created the birds, and yes, he created people. But to which of his creations did he breathe his own life into?
Amen.
He sees us as far above the rest of his creation. People, you, my brother, are the crowning glory of his creation. He breathed his image into you. All right? So he has such a tremendous love for you. And, yeah, he's going to take care of us even as he takes care of, you know, the birds of the field.
But what happens is that, see, he blesses us with what's called self-will, or I should say, to be able to make choices, okay? He blesses us with that opportunity that I want you to make a decision. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to wait until you come to me, but it's going to be your decision. So I'm here all the time. You know, in hindsight, when I looked at my life the way that it was when it was in total destruction and in a lot of darkness that was going on in my life, he was there all along, waiting for me to stop and recognize that, to acknowledge that, and then to seek help from him. And when I did, he was there, okay? And sometimes, and I've done it before, hey, God, you're foxhole prayer, man, the shrapnel and the everything's blowing up around me and all this is going on. I need you right now. And then all of a sudden when it subsided or I was able to get through whatever that situation was, thank you very much. And I would just get him just like I would a fire extinguisher, put him up on the shelf again.
Thanks very much. I got it from here, God.
Yep. And I'll get back to you if I need you again type of thing. That's not the God that we have. That's not the one that we're talking about. That's not the one of the Bible. Okay.
Yeah, he is willing to help us out of the struggle, and then he is willing to carry us along in our Christian walk. And one of the ways that he does that is through the other people that are in our lives.
Yeah,
you know, we have as Christian guys, we have the opportunity to fellowship with other guys and be encouraged by them, or even to be admonished.
Yes,
whatever the case may be, you know, but we have a tendency to not let anybody know what we're going through because we don't want to, you know, we don't want to seem weak. We don't want to let anybody know about these things, you know. And even Paul himself dealt with this issue, but he came to grips with it and said, I will glorify God in my weaknesses because it's then that God's strength is perfected in me. I will glorify God because of that. So, yeah, we have the opportunity to seek others for that help.
Well, see, one of the things that holds everyone back is that even guys who are listening to our stories of encouraging them to seek Jesus and he's there, he loves us, and he'll get you through everything, we think we're unique to the challenges that are in our lives that nobody else would understand. Nobody would understand. And I'm just here to tell you that you're right. When you're not talking to anybody else, when you're not listening to anybody else, especially those who have been in that same situation that you're in, you're going to think that you're the only one that's ever gone through this and that there is no help for you and that God is not even there. And I'm here to tell you that when you put yourself in those arenas where there are others, and I'm going to talk about directly that in men's ministry, in men's fellowship, in your church, whether you have a ministry or not, there are other men there. There's got to be something that takes place. You ask God, say, Lord, give me, provide for me a place to go to be able to hear that my life is not unique and that I am not just the odd one out and nobody has ever understood that. Help me to be able to see that. I will tell you this. He will likely put you in a position of where you'll be able to hear that. And that usually comes when you gather with other men who are willing to be transparent, willing to say, yes, I've been down that path, and this is what took place. I'll never forget it, man. The first time I ever heard, in a sense, a testimony of somebody that actually almost identical to the things that I had experienced, he had experienced. And I sat there and I go, wow, I had a lot of questions for this guy. So what did you do? And what happened? And it's like, wow, somebody else is just like me. Man, how often is it, man? If think about it, if you were a Boy Scout or if you were on played on a certain type of team, or if you're a swimmer or you whatever, and you hung around people that did the same thing, you feel kind of like a camaraderie. Oh man, here's somebody else just like me. We believe in the same thing. We're doing the same thing. There's a comfort to that. There's a reason why God is saying, "Hey, use these two guys, Raul and Eric, on this day to be able to reach you, to tell you, to encourage you, to go seek other men, okay? To be able to hear what they have to say, okay?"
Yeah. And if we, Raul, keep these things secret, you know, or even if I keep secret the fact that I have decided, you know, to let Jesus take this besetting sin from me, You know, if I don't let somebody know about that, I can't be encouraged.
That's right.
In that, I can't be helped in that.
How often does that happen when you mention about your pornography challenge that you've had, and amongst men, you take that risk and say that? You always have someone come up to you and say, "Hey, man, I can relate with that."
Yep.
It happens every time.
Every time.
And I tell you, so don't wait to just come in here and then all of a sudden you don't hear anything. If you get an opportunity to be able to share, share your heart, brother. Trust in God. It's through your weaknesses that His power will be perfected. So,
amen.
Amen. Amen. So how about you pray for our brothers who are listening?
Our Heavenly Father, I just thank You for the opportunity to press into You today, to seek You, to press on for the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God through Christ Jesus. Bless my brothers, I pray. Amen.